I am stoked for you to meet my guest today, Dr. Medina Culver, who goes by Dr. Culver over on Instagram. She has like over 100,000 followers, and I started following her years ago, and we recently connected again, and I asked her if she'd be on the podcast. Her story is truly incredible. She was, and obviously still is, a medical doctor, but she has decided to step away to choose something she is so passionate about. She's choosing herself. And today you're going to hear her story of how this all came about. You're going to hear how she's paid back all of her student loans by creating a quote unquote side hustle, which is no longer a side hustle. Her story is truly incredible. And I know all of her decisions are going to impact you today. We talk about everything that she's done, from a divorce to getting remarried to leaving her clinical practice to starting this new business that she has and leading women from all around the world to do something she is so truly passionate about. She talks about breaking through to create this long-lasting confidence in herself and what she's doing on this planet. And it was such an amazing story. I know you guys are going to love it. Be sure to go follow her, Dr. Culver, over on Instagram. She puts out awesome reels. She's cute as a button. And as far as I'm concerned, she seems truly amazing. We are now, like we said in the beginning of the podcast, we're now going to be girlfriends. I just really love today's episode. Be sure to share it with a friend. Go check her out and enjoy the episode. Are you ready to decide it's your turn to live your most purposeful, profitable, passionate life? I'm Christina LeCure, former professional golfer turned confidence and success coach. I truly believe every one of us was put here for a God-given purpose, and it is our responsibility to live that fully. For well over a decade now, I've been turning my life, as well as countless others around, from feeling unworthy, incompetent, and without a purpose to living a life I cannot wait to wake up for, even on days when shit hits the fan. And it all started with a decision. Yeah, you heard that right. I said God and shit in the same sentence. So clearly this won't be your typical podcast, but what I can assure you is that each week myself and my guests are going to enlighten you, fire you up, and having you walk away with stories and strategies to not only boost your confidence, but give you hope that at any moment in time, you have the power to decide it's your turn. Okay, y'all. So today's episode is going to be a fun one. I have recently connected again on social media with not even a friend. We're just like, I just sent you a random message. I was like, hey, I followed you for a couple of years. I really loved you. It's been a hot minute since the algorithm showed me again. And so I'm so excited that we did this. Medina Culver, Dr. Culver over on IG. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So excited we reconnected, and we'll just be friends after this.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Yeah. I totally dug you a couple of years ago, and obviously you've had a ton of life changes since then. You've recently gotten married. You've left your clinical medical profession, but tell everyone who you are and obviously like kind of what you do. You're definitely not the traditional Instagram, you know, business girl. You're an actual doctor.
I am. I'm a real life doctor. I don't just play one on Instagram.
I love it.
So I'm Dr. Medina Culver. I am a DO physician, very proud, very love being a DO physician. I'm board certified in family medicine. And over the last several years, I've just been in outpatient practice, really enjoyed it at the beginning. And I'm now transitioning into entrepreneurship and really, you know, taking that leap and that next step, I guess you could say, in my career, in transitioning what my career looks like as a physician.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You guys, I think one of the reasons why I was trying to think back of like how I found Medina's Instagram in the beginning, and this was like literally like 2 or 3 years ago, I think, when I first started following you.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I reached out. And I think one of the things that like really caught me, cause I was trying to go back and I think you've maybe have deleted some posts, or it's just been a long, long time ago since I like looked at your feed, but it was like, you stood out to me as a woman who was doing something so completely different than what you were supposed to be doing. And it's so interesting when you filled out the form for this podcast, the number one thing that you wrote of like what you wanted to talk about or like what you really are basing your life on now is limiting beliefs. And I love that because I have as well been a person who is like, if you're supposed to do this, I'm going to do fucking this.
Yes. No. Oh my God. I think that's, and it's so true. It's like, you think you're supposed to fit. Like, I think one of the biggest things I've always said is like, I'm 35 years old. I don't have children. You know, if they happen, that's great. If they don't, that's great. And that's how I've approached my life. And I kind of tried to normalize picking your career in your early 30s. And that's what I did when I went to medical school. And I was really all about, just because I didn't see anyone else talking about it. And I was like, congratulations to everyone that has the, you know, Instagram perfect life with their 2.5 kids and their white picket fence. And that's amazing and beautiful. And I love that for you, but that wasn't my path. And I didn't see anyone else talking about my path. So I wanted to kind of, I was like, I can't be the only one out here picking my career, picking, you know, life. And I don't know, the life that I want. And I just started talking about it. And it was insane, the amount of women that reached out and they were like, thank you for posting about that. Thank you for normalizing not having kids. Thank you for normalizing picking a career or going through a divorce or, you know, getting married for a second time. And, you know, just picking yourself at the end of the day, and also normalizing the highs and the lows, because sometimes we get so stuck in this Instagram highlight reel of life that we forget that there's actually really shitty days out there too. And it's okay to have those.
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like I do that every day. I don't have children as well. And I feel like I do that all the time. But if you go and check out Medina's Instagram, Dr. Culver, like, you have shit tons of followers. Your posts are just like so simple. It's usually just like a photo and a quick little caption, but you have really taken off and really, in my opinion, like, I feel like you have a very genuine audience who loves everything that you post. And it's so different too, because you're a medical doctor. Like, how did you even start doing social media?
I started doing social media back in the day when you just posted your like photo and you used the Instagram filters, right? What was it, like 10 years ago, 11 years ago? I don't even know, forever. I was in medical school and I was like, oh, this looks like a cool app. And, you know, nothing really, really grew for me until residency. I started to speak out just about the good and the bad of residency. And then it grew a little bit. And then, you know, when Reels happened, I did this reel on why I didn't change my last name to my ex-husband's, which, looking back, thank God. But like, I did this reel that was like, my husband didn't go to medical school. I did. Like, so I'm not going to change my name to his name, because I put in all the work. And it blew up. Like, it blew up in the best way. And it had millions of like, whatever, views, and was so shocked. And that kind of started to grow. And then I started posting about just being like, you can be an attractive female, and that doesn't mean that you can't also have a really badass career or be really, really amazing in your career. And they're not two separate things, that they can actually coexist, and they coexist really, really well. And then that got the attention of the New York Post, and things kind of went from there. And then my life kind of spiraled out of control. Actually, after that, that's when I was served divorce papers. When I was like, my Instagram was growing so fast, I was served divorce papers in my driveway, and then went through a really, really ugly, nasty 9-month divorce in a community property state without a prenup, by a very vindictive human being. And I literally found myself at 32 sitting, I had nothing. I lost my home. I lost half my retirement. I lost half my business. I lost everything, and everything I owned, including my 2 dogs, fit into my Jeep. Like, that was it. And that was I was like, how am I a physician? And this is where I'm at. This was not where I didn't plan this. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because it really shook me to my core and made me, one, I axed out a lot of people that were toxic energy, and I stopped trying to people please everybody. And the second thing is I was like, I need to bet on myself and stop working for everybody else and just let go of anything that, like, any of these voices in our head that say we can't do it. So that's where I started. And I just kind of literally rebuilt. And now here we are 3 years later, and I had no clue, again, what was coming in the next 3 years. But here we are. So that's like the summary. That's Spark Notes.
Okay. So I didn't even know that part about, like, that's how you originally started, like, you blew up because of that, like, taking your last name of your husband. That's so interesting. That's so cool. Like, I didn't know that part, but I just thought everything that you were posting was just so good. And I think I have always resonated with anyone who seems like, and obviously I don't know you, you don't know me, you might be extremely fake, but from what I can tell, you seem extremely authentic. No, because unfortunately this is the world that I exist in. Oh my God. And I'm sure you've experienced a ton of this too, but like there's so much fake bullshit out in the world right now. It's just disgusting.
Oh, even if you just start with filters. I just posted a reel the other day. I was like, you need to stop buying skincare from people that use filters first and foremost. Like, just stop. And it's crazy. Like, it's nobody looks how they like look in person. It's nuts.
Oh my gosh. It's so interesting. I was speaking at a women's event. I don't know, maybe a year or two ago. And one of the like attendees there, she's like, you're the only person who actually looks like they look in real life. I'm like, yeah, bitch, I don't even know how, like, yes, this is my world, but like one of the greatest compliments I can get is like, you're exactly the same in real life as, and maybe that's a good thing. And maybe that's a bad thing, but.
Right. You're like, is this good or is this bad? I'm not exactly. Sure.
I'm like, don't look close. Like I zoom in. I'm like, oh, I got wrinkles and sun marks everywhere, folks, but oh I am like a few years older than you, but all of that to be said, I totally agree with you. And unfortunately we live in a world now where, I mean, especially now, even with AI, like people aren't even real. Their voices aren't even real. They're like everything.
It's crazy. It's like, I'm like, I don't even know. You have no idea. I couldn't imagine. I don't know how, like some of these huge influencers, I don't know how they do it. But also, yeah, I'm like, why aren't people the way they are on social media in real life? Because that seems exhausting to live a double life. I can barely live one. So living two sounds really tiring.
My husband says that all the time. Like if there's ever a reality TV show on or something like that, he's like, seriously, I've got enough reality in my own life. I don't need to watch someone else.
It's so true. It's so true.
So true. Okay. So when you kind of before this, like, you know, kind of breakdown to breakthrough happened when you were 32 and after the divorce, but did you always know you wanted to be a doctor? Like, is that, did you come from a normal, like quote unquote normal family? Like what was kind of your upbringing like before this kind of happened?
Yeah. I mean, I was born and raised in Montana, like talk about one of the best upbringings ever. And the coolest day, you know, you left your door unlocked and they don't anymore, but like, it was so cool. Be home by sunset. Like that's how I grew up. I grew up playing sports. I grew up a tomboy. I grew up really not fitting in. I didn't really fit in into the popular girls clique. I, you know, didn't really fit in into the jocks. I didn't really fit into the, you know, science people. I kind of just like floated around. And since I was 12 years old, I said I wanted to be a doctor. And the reasons was that I wanted to be challenged in my career. I wanted to be able to help people. That was the biggest thing is I was like, from an early age, my dad, you know, worked construction and he really taught me about giving back in a way and not judging people based off how they look, how they present themselves, and that you never know what kind of struggle is really underneath that. He also taught me on the other side, if they present themselves really, really well, be a little bit weary. But you know, I think he taught me that. And I was like, I just want to, at the end of the day, it sounds so cliche. And I think I said it on every medical school interview, but I was like, I just want to help people. And I didn't know what that looked like. I had no idea. Unfortunately, in my opinion, and this is totally just my opinion, I think medicine has changed in a lot of ways to where there are so many blockades to helping people, but the biggest blockade is a lot of people won't help themselves. And so for me, I found out that I was, you know, probably over the last year, really burnt out with it and really feeling like, you know, I'm just spinning my wheels and I'm not, I'm probably helping maybe one or two people, but the biggest thing what's going on is like, nobody's helping themselves and we all try and rely on everyone else to fix our problems for us. And I think that's universal in society. And that's one of the biggest things I'm against is at the end of the day, you're only going to save yourself. Nobody is going to save you. And that was so hard to instill in this modern day medicine.
It's so interesting because obviously we don't really know each other, but I believe exactly the same thing. You know, don't know anything about my story, but at 27, I had like this ultimate life. Like I was playing professional golf. I was making money. I was modeling. I was like, had this great life, but internally I was dying. I had a horrible eating disorder, hated my life, didn't know if I wanted to live. And it was kind of that moment that I just decided. So my brand has decided it's your turn, but I just decided that there was other people that were happy that had a lot less than me. And it was ultimately personal responsibility that I've, you know, 15, 16 years later, I have the greatest life ever just because I decided and I took complete personal responsibility for my life. And I 100% agree with what you're saying. It's like, everyone is looking for something outside of themselves. And even if that's medically, I mean, nowadays, you know, with every drug under the sun, you know, I listened to a podcast the other day where they said, on average, and this was crazy, on average, a 60-year-old is taking 7 prescription drugs every single day. And it is all just like in to quote unquote help themselves. And I just thought to myself, if every single person took personal responsibility for their health, for their life, for their happiness, for their business, no one would, well, not no one, but like we could dramatically reduce that.
Oh, it would be, I believe that statistic 110%. My first 3 years, I was in private practice for predominantly 65 and older. The amount of the list of medications was insanity. And I was like, you have a medication for a side effect and then a medication for another side effect. And I was like, whoa, like the interactions alone are terrible. But tell that to, it's just so hard. It's so hard.
It's totally hard. And that goes down the rabbit hole of, you know,
I was going to say, and we'll be here for 5 hours. Exactly. And you probably have other people that you want to talk to. So I'm like, you don't need to hear my soapbox.
No, I totally agree. So all of that to be said, so it's like you graduated, and this is just the professional part. So you graduated, you've been a doctor now for how many years?
Oh, let's see, I graduated medical school in, 2015. I graduated medical school, yes.
Okay, so like nine-ish years ago. And this year you have decided to step away for something that you've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, devoted your whole entire life to doing, and you're walking away to do something different. And I just think that this is so amazing because it's giving so many other people permission. You think, you know, you're walking away from something, but I had a client and a girlfriend who she was a dentist, and she knew that she did not want to be a dentist. And she is finally, you know, obviously she's had a lot of life changes have happened, but she's no longer doing dentistry. She's doing cosmetics now. She's doing like Botox and injectables and all of the things, but like,
I love that.
Right. But the permission, like if you told anyone that you went to school, spent all this money and all this time to start a dental practice and walk away, and now you're going to do something completely different, everyone under the sun thinks that you're crazy. But in my personal opinion, I mean, life is so fucking short. And like, what are we doing? People are staying miserable because they're quote unquote supposed to be doing something. So tell us a little bit about like walking away from this and like how you actually have had the confidence to do so.
Yeah, it was really, you know, I did not plan this. I did not expect to do this. And, but I had to. And I think the reason is that you have to pick yourself. And I was 5 years into a career that, you know, like full transparency, I was able to pay back my student loans because of working side business and side hustles all the time. So I paid back all my student loans. So I've always kind of been like, I'm like a free agent now. Like I can do what I want and I don't have anything tying me down, but I wasn't expecting to leave clinical medicine the way that I did. My husband had a career change. And so that changed my career as well too. And for the first time in my life, I've also have a supportive partner. I have a partner that was like, listen, if you're not happy, because I think our entire relationship, he's heard me come home and say, I hate my job. I love why I went into it, but I hate my job. And patients see that. You're not going to be the best doctor if you hate your job. You're not. Like, there's no way. You can be the smartest person in the world. And if you don't love your job and you're not fulfilled, what are you doing? Because you're exactly right. Life is way too short. So I sat down with him when I was approached by Olaveda, which is like a luxury European skincare brand that just came over to the US here in July of 2023. And I said, I have a chance here. I was actually at our wedding. I sat there after like multiple tequila drinks because I planned my whole wedding and I set it all up myself. Like I didn't have a planner or day off person. Like did it all.
You're so kidding. You did it all yourself. If you guys go check out her social media, it's absolutely gorgeous. I thought you got married in Canada based upon the mount.
We did. Yeah. We got married in Banff. Yep. We got married in Banff.
I sent you a DM. I was like, is this Banff? Because I'm originally from Edmonton, Alberta. So I'm originally
So my husband's from British Columbia, small town, British Columbia.
Oh, shut up. Which town?
Yeah. Cranbrook.
Oh my God. I know it really well. A couple of my girlfriends are from Cranny. They probably know.
They probably know each other. They probably know each other.
That's so funny. So I moved down to the States 21. I'm an American citizen, but I moved down to the States 21 years ago to play college golf, but I'm originally from up there and my cousins have got married there. That was the Banff Springs,
Fairmont.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Banff Springs. Yes.
I was like, I swear to God, this is the Banff Springs.
You're spot on. It was. Yeah.
That's so funny.
It was so fun. It was so great. So I sat there and I looked at him and I was like, I'm going to start sharing. And I'd already done Beauty Counter. I'd already done Clean Beauty for 6 years. I kind of knew the background, but I'd really dealt with a lot of mean girl energy, a lot of bullying, and a lot of just, you know, you think you're going to get older and everyone's going to get, you know, a little bit more inclusive. And it turns out everyone still stays the exact same the way that they were in high school. And I just was like, I don't have time. I don't have energy for this. And I can't continue to share this brand if this is the energy behind it. So I was looking for other options, and I'm not an idiot. If you get in with companies at the initial ground level, there's a huge possibility of growth. There's a huge, you know, financial impact that you can have too. It's a lot of work. It's not an 8 to 5. It's a lot of work.
Thank you for saying that it's a lot of work, because I feel like a lot of people get into a lot of, you know, quote unquote side hustles and look at it as a side hustle, when really, in order to have the actual growth, it needs to be the fucking full-time hustle, folks.
The main hustle, 100%. Yeah. Like, you can call it a side hustle, but you better put main hustle energy and time into it, because otherwise it's not going to do anything. Correct. And that's the biggest thing, is like, if you don't put time and effort, and if you don't step outside your comfort zone, and if you don't try, it's not going to do anything. So I knew how to do this. And so I was like, let me see what this is like. So I was still kind of doing some telemedicine, still doing some virtual care, and I'm still a professor. Cause my mom would probably completely disown me if I totally wasn't using my medical degree. I'm still a professor, and actually I have found that, like, I love that. It filled my soul to teach people that actually care about medicine, that care about learning, that want to get better. Like, that is so cool for me. So I love my students. It's crazy to be a professor. I have slightly imposter syndrome there, but we're working through it. We're good. So I started working with Olivetta here, in August, and really ramped things up in September and October. And then, like, it's just become unbelievable once I learned about it. And the business has gone from selling, you know, $4,000 in July to $935,000 in November. So the growth is faster than any other company right now. So I finally just told my husband, when I looked at a couple months, I said, hey, if you give me 6 months, I can replace my full physician salary. So he said, okay. He said, do it. I believe in you. And he'd never really seen, he had never really seen this side of business. And so he's been shocked, because I've been able to travel. I've been able to spend time with him. I've been able to be home. I've been able to travel to, you know, go teach, all while still making income from my phone and building a huge business now of over like 200 women. And it's just, it's really fun. So it was a big risk. It still is a risk every single day. But it's a risk I will always take, because for the first time, I'm like, I'm helping people in a different way. It's not a drug. It's, how do you feel better in your natural skin? How do you feel better owning your own beauty and, you know, really allowing your own energy to shine through? Because so many times we get so stuck behind this, it has to be perfect. And I don't know. That's like, I love doing it. It really has been, it's so rewarding. So.
Hey y'all, I hope you're enjoying today's episode with Medina. I wanted to let you know that if you're enjoying today's episode, you're probably going to like the episode I did with a woman named Nicole back in 2022. It was episode number 92, and we talked all about the freedom mindset. Another episode you might like is the one I did with Melissa Roberts, episode number 99. So if you're enjoying today's episode with Medina, check out episode number 92 and number 99. Enjoy the rest of this show, and please remember, share it with someone who you know is going to need it. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the rest of the episode. So a couple questions I have. The first one is, how did you get into, you mentioned Beauty Counter in the beginning. So most people would think, you're a physician. Why in the world do you have a side hustle as well? So how did that start?
Oh my God. It's like you read my mind, because I'm about to make a reel on that, because everyone's like, why do you have a side hustle?
And yeah, you know, no, I love it, because I think it's true. I think most people would think that, like, you're a doctor. Why in the world?
Most people never approach a physician for a side hustle. They would never approach, never. And I actually was approached during residency. So I started with Beauty Counter when I was in residency. You're making like $8 an hour, so you have no money. And so I was approached then. So that's when I started. Really, I did it because I was like, I need to earn, you know, an extra $1,000 a month. That would be huge for me, you know? And then I saw it scale up. And really what I did, because I knew at that time I was almost $500,000 in student debt from medical school alone, just medical school. And so I said, okay, this is not going to work out well for me if I don't really get caught up on these loans. So I lived off for my first 3 years, I lived off my beauty counter income. So I still lived, you know, very conservatively. And I put all of my physician salary to my student loans. And so I think I got it paid off in 3.5 years.
That's incredible. Good for you. That's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I really kind of talk about, obviously everything that I do is mindset and strategy on business and life, but how did you have the willingness to bet on yourself in the beginning? Because I think that that's, confidence is something that a lot of people struggle with, obviously, like that's why I brand myself that, but how did you really, like, where did that muscle come from in the beginning of betting on yourself and being willing to do something that most people aren't willing to do?
It's, you know, for a long time, I had no confidence. I had none. And probably wasn't until 3 years ago, I actually developed confidence. Same as you, I had a massive eating disorder. I was in a terrible narcissistic marriage and constant, just like belittling. So that really, for me, my escape was work. And so if I worked harder, if I worked more, I escaped everything else that was spiraling in my life. I mean, I was probably 20 pounds thinner. My hair was falling out when I would brush it. It was, and I was like, oh, I'm getting skinnier. Like, it was such a horrible, horrible cycle of self-abuse that I'd done for years. And it was being perpetuated because I didn't know how to actually love myself. I didn't know how to give myself the love I needed. And I was searching for acceptance, love, and just, you know, confidence in someone else because I didn't know how to give it to myself. So fast forward then 3 years and getting served divorce papers, I had to start therapy because I said, at this point I was having to pay spousal support. I was having to pay attorney bills. I was having to do all these things. So I said, I have to keep working as a physician. I need a salary. I need this salary just to survive. And just to pay all these bills. And so I said, I can't have my own emotional turmoil disrupt my career. And so I started therapy and I started a life coach. And I really did a lot of inner child work and trying to understand, because on the surface, it was like, okay, you're a pretty girl and you're a doctor. What do you have to...
Amen.
Like, what's your problem? Like, you have no problem. Your parents have been married for 50 years. They're wonderful, supportive people. Like, what is your problem? You know, you have nothing to worry about. I don't know, you know, and so there is that backlash that comes with it. And that was when I really had to understand that a lot of my own issues was because of my own inner child, not knowing how to, I didn't receive the love I needed from my mom specifically, because she never received that love from her father. So she didn't know how to give it, if that makes sense. And I, for years, was searching and searching and working harder and valedictorian, going, you know, being a doctor by 29, like all of these things, or before 30 was my goal. Like all of these things I was trying to do so my mom would say that she was proud of me, or my ex-husband would say, I'm proud of you. And nobody did. But I learned my mom was never even told she was loved by her father. So how can I expect her to show that to me when she doesn't know how to do it? So I learned to show it to myself, and I had to like stand in front of the mirror and say things I loved about myself. And it's so uncomfortable. And so like, you're like, oh my God, I hate doing this. But I had to really just start from the basics of learning to love myself, teaching how to love myself, and then learning emotional intelligence and learning what's actually requires my energy. What is this like a life or death? Do we need to have huge reactions, or are a lot of times people's huge reactions because there's poor emotional intelligence? So I had to learn that. And then I also was, you know, I said, why would I not bet on myself? I know how hard I work. I know how much energy I can give into something. I know how I can be strategic. Like, the only person I want to bet on is myself.
And it's because you've done that work. I mean, I'm so cool, like good for you. I mean, I feel like I did the exact same thing. And now that's what I help people do. I always say that, like, you know, we as children are learned certain stories, patterns, and habits, but we as adults get to choose which ones we are going to reprogram in order to serve us as adults. Because, you know, your mom was probably an amazing person. My mom was an amazing person, but like there's certain things that stories, patterns, and habits that we learned as kids that if we want something different, we have to do something different and you have to reprogram that. So it's so cool that like you had the ability. And I just, it's something that I'm so passionate about. Like I literally scream it from the rooftops because it's truly saved my life. And it sounds like it kind of saved your life as well. 100%.
100%.
And now you're able to thrive in your new marriage and your business and walk away from a career that even though you spent $500,000 doing it and however many years out of your life to become the doctor, it's no longer serving you. And that's okay. I was playing professional golf. People still to this day are like, well, would you ever do it again? I'm like, oh my God, no, 100% never. I love golf just for fun, but oh my God, that was never for me. That was because I was supposed to do it.
Yeah. And it's like, you fall into these traps of like, I'm supposed to do this. Like I'm supposed to graduate residency. I'm supposed to go to get a job. I'm supposed to be in clinic 8 to 5. I'm supposed to be on call. I'm supposed to, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I was like, but what if I want to like YZX? Like, why can I not? And that was the biggest thing. But also you have to learn, I think we let so much toxic energy into our lives. Like whether it's, you know, maybe you with professional golf and whatever demons are there. With me, I was like, okay, I got out of a really bad relationship, but now I'm in a career that doesn't fulfill me either. So at what point am I going to have the balls to walk away from this and say, I'm going to bet on myself. And I had to wait. I would have done it a year ago if I could have, but I had to also be smart about it as well too. And it just really, this opportunity presented itself and I said, screw it. I'm doing it. I'm going to take a risk. And I have a support system, you know, that if I fail, which I won't, but if I fail, they're there. And I think the biggest thing I manifest every single day. I tell my husband what I'm going to do. I tell him how much I'm going to get, like where my business is going to be at. And he's like, okay, he's like, let's do it. And he's my number one cheerleader. Like, you know, the business last year or not last year, but my individual business last month was over 6 figures. And he was like, that's amazing. Like he was like, I'm floored. And I said, thank you. And he's like, you're just proof that hard work, like if you put your mind to something and you work hard, you are really unstoppable. And I, for the first time, got to take it in and got to receive that and didn't have to, I knew how to receive it and I knew how to receive that support, but I'd actually already given myself that support and I had already told myself that. So it was just like icing on the cake, if that makes any sense.
Oh my gosh, it makes so much sense. Good for you. I've always said to people, like I've got sticky notes everywhere. And I was like, I manifest my life in a sticky note 100%.
There's like a rule. I read this once that if you tell someone your goals, like what you're manifesting, there's like a 95% chance it actually is going to come true. Like if you speak it out there, obviously you still have to do things. You can't just sit at home and wait for it to happen. But if you speak it out there and put in the effort, like I fully believe in that full circle moment.
Oh, 150%. Like when I say I have the greatest life ever, I've been probably saying that for 6 or 7 years. And like people who hire me and like people who follow me, they all know that like Christina has the greatest life ever. It's because I have said it for so many fucking years that it has become true. And it doesn't mean that like bad things don't happen. Doesn't mean that I don't have bad days and all of the stuff, but like I believe it to my absolute inner being core that no one else has the greatest life as that I do.
I think that's amazing. And I think that if people told themselves that, it would completely change the mindset. But we're so used to living in a victim mindset and like, poor me, this is so horrible, this happened to me. But you have to like get out of that. You have to figure out a way to get out of it. Otherwise, you just get to sit there. And when you sit there, nothing good is going to happen to you.
Well, it's just like what you said, like having the coaches and having the therapy and all the things. You have to reprogram these things. But the very first thing is just, number one, maybe someone who's listening to this podcast, and I hope people listen to it and I hope everyone shares it, because there could be someone out there that just needs proof that it's possible. Like Medina, is possible that you can leave a marriage and have a healthy marriage. You can leave a medical career and be financially successful. You can take personal responsibility of your life. We're both proof that you can have an eating disorder and be so fully in love with yourself now, however many years down the road. Like, you can do these things. And it's like proof, like, you know, women in particular, like I don't know why I've had a lot of problems in my life, but jealousy isn't one of them. And so I've always looked at it as, I'm not jealous of anyone, but I always look at it as proof. Like Medina's making 6 figures a month right now doing the Oliveira. Is that how you say
Oliveira.
It? Yeah, Oliveira. 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 She's doing it. So that is proof to you that it is possible. Do not be jealous of that shit. She's probably worked her ass off, but it's just proof that it's possible. It's everything is just proof for you as well. But, you know, you have to start with what I believe is decision, faith, and action. So a true decision. I am deciding that this is going to happen. I'm going to do it. Take having the faith that everything is happening for you for some purpose or for some reason. I'm a person I believe in God, but for me, it's just like faith outside of yourself, something that is working in your favor, and then a shit ton of action.
Yeah. And I think I always tell people I'm no different than anyone else. And if you think I am, then you're already putting yourself like three steps behind. But the biggest thing is limiting beliefs. It's so much easier to believe the limiting beliefs that we tell ourselves than to actually believe what you just said, all of those good things, all like there is faith outside of what I'm doing and that good things are going to happen to me. And speak it into existence. But the biggest thing is believe you deserve it. And I think that's one of the things I always am saying. I'm like, I'm ready to receive these things. I'm excited to receive these things. I've done the work too. And I'm open to receiving it. And I don't let any limiting beliefs stop me, because that's all they're going to do. That's literally all they're going to do.
Do you think one of the reasons why you have had such success in building your team is because you work a lot on these things? I'm assuming that this is what you teach your team.
Yeah, we do a lot. I see a lot of like empowerment quotes. They're like, okay, Medina, we get it. Like, relax. But I'm like, go on. Like I choose every day to wake up excited, because like you said, I'm so thankful to work for myself. I'm my favorite boss I've ever had. I'm my favorite HR I've ever had. Like, I am a big fan of me, and you have to be, but I also have like stopped caring what anyone else is going to think. It took me 30 plus years to do that, but I stopped honestly caring what other people are going to think, because at the end of the day, people's opinions do not pay my bills. And so that's like, I say that all the time, is I'm like, yeah, you can have your opinion, and yeah, you might not like me, and yeah, I might rub you the wrong way, and you don't have to follow me. You don't have to be here. You're not my people. I want people in my circle that are my people.
So how do you keep yourself, like, do you have like group, like how do you actually keep yourself in that vibration? Like, I'm assuming you have awesome boundaries. I'm assuming you surround yourself with the right people, but like, I'd love to know from your perspective of how have you cultivated that type of lifestyle?
I think for me, I have a lot of boundaries, and I have really strict boundaries. If someone shows me their true colors, I pay attention, and I trust my gut a lot more than I used to. And I stopped trying to fit into anything, like to any group, or with a person, or look a certain way or act a certain way. And I don't have a big circle of friends, right? I don't have a very small circle. I mean, I can count them on one hand, the people that I fully, fully trust and that really get to know all the levels of who I am. And for me, that's very important, because that's my inner circle. That is my group that re-energizes me. And, you know, it's like three of the five members are my mom, my dad, and my husband. So, and I think the other two are my dogs. So I actually brought, like, I'm like,
you guys, even if you don't follow her for any of the wellness, you got to follow for the dogs, cutest dogs on the freaking planet. Oh my God. Dying.
I love them. They're sitting outside this door right now, 'cause they're pissed that they can't be a part of this, but they are like, literally, I hear them. Oh, but they're the best. Like I got them both during the worst times of my life. So here's another limiting belief. Just get the dog when you want. Like, I got my intern year residency working 80 hours a week. And then I got Bryce during the middle of my divorce. So it's like, just get the dog.
Oh my gosh. I love it. So we've talked a lot about the business and the mindset, but I know everyone's always so curious, and this is just me being nosy. So how did you meet your husband? How did this all happen? Because when I was following you, and like I said, the algorithm is such a pain in the ass sometimes, because you follow the people that you actually are like somewhat interested in. And I don't even know how I started following you, but then lost track for a couple of years. And I'm like, oh my God, she's married to the cutest guy ever. She's quit her job. And like, I got to reach back out.
And he's Canadian.
When this goes off, I'm going to tell you my girlfriend, and I wonder if they're all connected. Oh my God, it's the craziest.
Oh my gosh, you have to, because his brother still lives in Cranbrook. In Cranny.
No way. Have you been up there?
No, I haven't yet to Cranbrook. A ton of them came to our wedding. I, his sister's in Calgary.
Oh, and yeah. So my brother's in Calgary. My other brother's in Vancouver. I'm originally from Edmonton. I don't go up a ton. Yeah. It's too cold up there. And you guys still live in Montana?
They call it Deadmonton. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's like the worst. It's so freaking cold. I love all my Edmonton people. Like, I have a couple clients up there. My parents live there part-time, but hell no, girl. I'm a Southern girl. I was supposed to be born in America. I was supposed to be born in the South. I love the warm weather.
I know. It's amazing. My husband and I met really through a mutual friend. They were like, I was dating other people. He was dating other people. And they were like, you guys should just go to coffee. And so funny story is he was with the Vegas Golden Knights, the hockey team down there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a team doctor. I was like, yeah, that's it. I like literally, I was like, I'm about to just become a team doctor. Like,
what does he do with hockey?
He was chief partnership officer. So every single like badge or every single like logo you see, that he handled all of that. And so we met, I showed up in scrubs, like this scrub top, like showed up in scrubs, met for coffee. He's in his three piece. He's Italian. So he's in his like suit. He's like dressed to the nines. I was like, who is this guy?
Totally a hockey guy. Let me tell you, I grew up in Edmonton. So I know like my grandma, when we were kids, had all of her grandchildren and Wayne Gretzky's kids like on the fridge. Like it was like hockey was idolized. My dad was drafted. He won. I forget some sort of cup, but my uncle played in the NHL, was the first person to beat up Wayne Gretzky. Such a hockey family as well. So I've known.
Oh my God. Well, I think every Canada, like we were just in Toronto for the All-Star game.
Oh, cool.
And so it's like every hockey
is God. Those people could shoot someone and people would be like, they're fine. It's fine. They're fine. They're like hockey players are like gods up there.
They are. It's crazy. So yeah. So we met, he is not the type I ever dated. He is older than I am. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. He also shot me down for the job. So I was like, this guy, I was like, not having it. I was like, no. So we kind of lost touch. And then, he would text me and ask me to dinner every now and then. And I was like, I don't know, like for full transparency, we're 17 years apart. And so I was like, I don't know, like this guy just wants probably to like, I don't know, have sex and then like give me some hockey tickets. I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm good. And so finally the third time he's like, listen, I'm not going to ask you again if you want to go to dinner. And one thing about my husband, he's very direct. And I was like, okay, all right, asshole, I will be there. I will be at dinner and I will look great and I will show up early.
Like, oh my God, I love
like,
it.
It was like a challenge. I was like, I will be there. And we had probably the best dinner I've ever had. It was 3 hours. It was like, I sat down with my best friend. It was like sitting down with like, you know, like a good friend. You just like sat there and I was like, here's my baggage. Here's what I've been through. Here's what I'm looking for. And if you don't want X, Y, and Z, then this was a great dinner, but we'll never go on a second date. And it was very much, I was like, I told myself, I said, I'm not sitting at the table. When I was dating, I was like, I'm not going to sit at the table any longer and financially support a man. I'm not going to sit at the table any longer and not sit with someone that makes me want to hustle harder, work harder, and is at my level. And that sounds very shitty to say, but it's also reality because a lot of times I was like, I'm not going to carry someone anymore. I want to work with someone and have a partner. Between when we met and we got engaged was 3 months. It was fast.
Oh my gosh,
it was
good for you.
Yeah, it was super fast. People thought we were absolutely nuts. And we have just, it's been great. It's truly like my best friend. And if you ever hear anything about the third love theory, you guys should look it up because it's amazing. It's so true, I think. But I did not make this up. I wish I did. I'd take all the credit for it if I could. But there's technically, theoretically, three great loves in your life. You've got your first love. That's like your Disney princess high school love. Kind of teaches you like this fairy tale version of love. And then there's a second love that is the one that hurts you. There's usually like a mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, manipulation. And it teaches you what love is not. And then there's a third love in your life that when that comes along, it's literally like this person has known you for years. It's like a piece of your puzzle that fits. A lot of people are like, some people are lucky to get it in their first love, but a lot of everyone else, you go through those three great loves in your life. So for me, he's my third love. We've always said that. And it's been crazy. But honestly, I still laugh every day and it's great. So yeah. So, and he's the one that wanted a big wedding. I would not have done a big wedding.
But how many people did you have? It didn't look that big. You looked gorgeous.
It wasn't huge. Thank God it was, but I would have gone to like the courthouse or like the
Maldives. Has he been married before though?
He was, yeah. Okay. We both went, yep. So it's both of our second marriages. And we both like went through pretty nasty, gnarly divorces. We both had to write large checks to our exes. And I think that was like a bonding. It was like we trauma bonded.
Does he have children?
He does. He's got one kid. Kai's in the Air Force in Seattle and is 21 now. So it was great. It was kind of like, it was really this, I'm not a stepmom. I don't have to be a stepmom. I just like, get to come in and be a friend. And I don't have to really ruffle feathers. And for me, it was actually a really great situation. So it kind of worked out perfectly.
Awesome. Well, I'm so happy for you. Yeah, I think everyone does. And I think the whole premise of this whole podcast is just giving yourself the permission and limiting beliefs. I mean, my relationship looks so different than your relationship. But at the same time, too, it's like the belief that both of them are possible and everything is true and possible for you if you are willing to just take personal responsibility for your life, be okay with what everyone else has to say about it. It's so funny that you're talking about where, you know, like the financial thing. I got a comment one time from a person after I posted something and they're like, well, you wouldn't have your life without your husband. And I was the first person to say, I was like, yeah, you know what? I probably wouldn't, but I'm going to say that he wouldn't have his life without, you know, me being a part of it as well. And that's a true in my, like, I want a partnership. Right? Like a true
100%.
Partnership. And so, yeah, everyone's got opinions on everything, whether it be the age, the financial, the look, all of things. But I think the main purpose of this podcast, and I'm so grateful that we did this. I'm so grateful that you just showed up on my feed and I'm sure you get thousands.
I'm so grateful too.
I'm so grateful because I just think connecting with real women who are doing good things in this world and putting good things into this world is obviously what I'm a huge proponent of. And I'm so grateful. And if anyone obviously wants to reach out to you about your new business and just anything, really, you've responded to DM so kindly. And so tell everyone where they can find you. Are you just on Instagram or what's the deal?
Yeah, I basically am just on Instagram. I mean, I know everyone is like moving to TikTok, but that sounds terrifying.
Girl,
I'm just sitting in Instagram. I'm sitting in my Instagram happiness right now. I'm good there. But yeah, it's Dr. Culver. It's Dr. and then Culver. There's a beauty page too. If you're like, I just want to follow you for beauty and you don't care about anything else, I'm cool with that. But yeah, it's a fun community. It's a lot of positive thoughts. A lot of negative comments will get blocked and deleted. So.
Oh my gosh. So here for it. You guys, please go follow her and share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for joining me on today's episode of the Decide It's Your Turn podcast. If today's episode resonated with you at all, please share it with a friend. Also, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and a comment. What is it that you want us to talk about that'll help you realize that at any moment and any day, you too can decide it's your turn? I'm Christina LeCure. I'll see you next time.